Welcome to the website of Community Bible Church. We hope it's helpful to you. We've included on our website sermons, both recent and in years past, that we think you will find a real help and encouragement as you listen to the teaching of God's Word. Some years ago, Morgan Cryer sent me a song that he had written. And no matter what you're going through right now, this song is true for you. Just 1 minute. Rest here. I know that you've been through an awful storm. I was with you. Don't fear. I'll sit right here beside you and no harm will befall you. We both know you must soon be on your way again. The path is steep, the way not always clear. I'll wake you when it's time to go, my weary friend. You'll be up again. Rest here. Just lay that heavy burden at my feet. I'll never leave you. Rest here. I'll watch all your worries while you sleep. And I will watch you too. I see you've got a wound or two we'll have to tend. But surely nothing time and grace won't heal. So just be still and let me get to work, my friend. You'll be up again. Rest here. You couldn't face your biggest battle yet, but I'll fight for you. Rest here. Just gather up your strength, but don't you fret. I'm right beside you. Though testing and temptation lurk along the way, you may stumble, I have prayed for you. Though new struggle seems to grow up every day, I will guard your way. So for today, rest here. Rest. All right, Psalm 113. You don't have anywhere to go. It's raining out. Let's wait for the rain to stop, and then you can go have lunch, okay? Did you ever hear Lyle Lovett's song called Church? The preacher won't quit, and he comes up with a way to somehow get him out of church. It's just a great song. Oh. He taught the people to stand up to say, unto the Lord praises be. It's time for dinner now. Let's go eat. We got some beans and some good cornbread. It made the preacher hungry and he quit preaching. It was great. Great stuff. Ain't going to work today. I had a big breakfast. Psalm 13. Let's pray together before we read the scriptures. Lord, you have exalted your word above your name, the Bible says. It's incredible. We believe that this is the infallible word of God breathed out by the Holy Spirit. As Peter said, holy men of God spoke as they were carried along by the Holy Spirit, that all scripture is God-breathed. So through David's song today, help us. In Jesus' name, amen. Psalm 13. How long, O Lord, will you forget me forever? How long will you hide your face from me? How long must I wrestle with my thoughts and every day have sorrow in my heart? How long will my enemy triumph over me? Look on me and answer, O Lord my God. Give light to my eyes, or I will sleep in death. My enemy will say, I have overcome him, and my foes will rejoice when I fall. But I trust in your unfailing love. My heart rejoices in your salvation. I will sing to the Lord, for he has been good to me. My great-grandpa Hampton, he used to call this life the Vale of Tears. I remember being a teenager and sitting on the front porch on Rundle Street at Grandpa and Grandma's house when great-grandma and grandma would come up to visit, and he would call it the Vale of Tears. I thought the old man needed medication. I did. And then I lived longer, and I agree with him. Tragedy is a very common part of our lives. It's difficult. My friend Ashley's 36 years old. 2 weeks ago, mother of three. She went to bed and never woke up. They still don't know why she died. Brian's trying to put it all together now with three little kids. My friend Kelly last week, swimming at the pool in Myrtle Beach. She stubbed her toe. From that injury, she was in heaven by noon the next day. And her husband's trying to deal with it all. And then you just drive up and down our streets all over. I was at 59 and Airport Road where that monument is to that father and little girl that was killed in a car accident months ago. People keep adding teddy bears and well wishes and stuff to try to remember them. Everywhere you go, there's kind of things. I was going up to the airport to pick up my friend Marcia and her son Don are here from Minnesota. Lift your hands, guys. Wait, I just want to embarrass you. They're here. Give me a hand. If you don't believe my friend Bob Rotremel lived, where you're wrong, because he and his wife gave birth to this sweet little lady right here. So she's the prodigy of what the two of them are, and we're very grateful to have him here. We're going to the airport, Dixie Highway, to I-75 to go up to Bishop, and there is still that cross with a little Christian flag on it that says Chad from our police officer we lost some years ago. It's all over. The world is marked by heartache. It is. So since we know that, we have to set in our heart as a Christian, how am I going to respond in tragedy? How am I going to respond? It's going to happen. It's going to happen around you. What are you going to do? Well, let me give you just a few things. I read this psalm, and we'll grab some things from it, but I've been doing this a long time, and I just want to tell you what I have learned about dealing with and in tragedy. Number one. Show up. When someone has a terrible loss or problem in their life, the tendency is to be so uncomfortable with it, you don't want to be around it, so you stay away and send flowers, right? Or whatever you got to do, right? Just you'll call them on the phone, hey man, if you need anything, let me know. That's just your way of getting out of it because you know they'll never have the nerve to call you. Show up. It's so powerful, it's unbelievable. When somebody shows up in the midst of your tragedy, it means some specific things to their heart. You know, the words don't have to be said. It just means this. Number one, you're not alone. Number two, I see the heartbreak. Number three, you matter. It is so powerful. When my mother died, you know what touched me the most about all the wonderful outpouring and all that all those years ago when she passed? Is that my buddy Carl Hollendonner was there. I got up, my brothers and I, you know Hamptons, they can never shut up. We had all three of us had to talk because that's what we do. And my two brothers and I, yeah, the fourth brother is just an imaginary friend I had when I was a kid. Us three all got up and spoke, and I looked out there, and there is Carl Hollendonner. He drove a 10-hour round trip to be at a one-hour service. You don't have to say anything. That meant he loved me, and he's my friend no matter what we go through. It's so powerful and so wonderful. When I first became the pastor here, when Pastor Gall went to Windsor to take his home church in 1981, I didn't have a clue. And there was this old dude, Bob Rotremel. He saw how messed up and confused I was, and he just stepped up. He'd show up, make me a cup of coffee. I want to talk to you. And we would talk about stuff, and the old deacon knew what to tell me and help me. Listen, just show up, be there, and do stuff. I mean, they need their lawn cut. They need meal. What do they need? Just show up, okay? It's going to happen in your life. There's going to be tragedy. Show up. Don't hide. For God's sake, don't hide. Some of the most powerful times. So, number one, you show up. Number two, shut up. How else can I put it? Show up and shut up. Other than saying, I'm so sorry and I love you and what can I do? Okay? That's all you get to say. You don't get to say anything else. Because if you say anything else, you'll mess it up. Remember Job's friends? Job lost his 10 children and everything he had in one day. And then the next day he lost his health. And his friends showed up. And for a week, they just sat on the ground in ashes with him in mourning. That's when they were the servants of God. But then they opened their mouths. And the rest of that book is just this diatribe of celestial baloney that they kept blowing out on Job. And they just should have stayed there and shut up. And they didn't. Now, Job had a lot to say to God during all that. And it wasn't kind and it wasn't easy. But God wasn't angry at Job. He was angry at those knuckleheads because they wouldn't shut up. So you show up and you shut up. My friend Lizzie was beaten up at Children's Village here at Oakland County. She was one of the workers there. And when it happened, she was so badly wounded, it handicapped her for some years. And the deacons from her church came over and asked her a question. What did you do that God would do this to you? And she was well enough to get a hold of her cane and start swinging it until they got out the door. Because she was a pioneer woman, okay? But the dumbest stuff, we say, just the dumbest stuff. My friend Richard Butterfield was working in NASA, working, 48-hour shifts. It was unbelievable, the work they were doing building the Apollo spaceships. Anyhow, they had a little house there in Florida. They had a, no basement on a slab. And he was working, and his little son was 2.5 years old, got a hold of a gas can that he had left, that Richard had left in the garage. He had mowed the grass quickly and left for work. The kids started dumping the gas around the garage, and the water heater was in the garage, and it ignited. Richard got the call and ran through the flames to bring that little boy's body out of the flames. Just shock, right? So the next day, he goes to the funeral home, and his pastor showed up, sat by him in the funeral home, and said, this was God's will. Shut up, okay? Just shut up, okay? These guys, by the way, in Job's situation, nobody saw the whole picture. Nobody except God. He saw the whole picture. When you go through a tragedy, you don't see the whole picture, so show up and shut up, okay? Don't try to be the answer man. It's not time. So, we show up, we shut up, and then we do what David did in Psalm 13. Ask the hard questions. We are Christians, and we are allowed to ask anything of him. And look at David. I call him the big D. He asked these questions. How long, O Lord, will you forget me forever? You don't even think about me anymore, do you? I've been going through this. I feel so alone. I feel punished as I'm going through. Well, I love this. He doesn't say what this is, what he's going through. He just feels punished by it all. Will you forget me forever? You don't even think of me, do you? But yet later in life, he wrote a psalm that said, your thoughts of me are beyond number. But at the time, he had to ask the hard question. Do you even think of me? Here's another statement he says. How long will you hide your face from me? That means, how long will you not look at me? I came out of Kroger, one of my favorite places, and I saw a sweet little friend of mine. And I don't know what's happened. I'm going to have to figure it out. Because when I saw that she recognized me and she just turned her face away and kept walking. God, is that what you're doing to me? You just, oh, here he is. Forget this. Act like he doesn't exist. Is that what you're doing? Look at me. How long? Here's a good question. Why? Ask the tough questions. God can handle it. And here's the thing. Not only can God handle it, he sees it as prayer. If you're speaking to him, it means you believe he exists and that it's true. And so you ask him, I don't know how this fits into this. I don't get it. Ask him. Just ask him. Talking to my buddy Don last night, he tells me he takes walks and just talks to the Lord that way. Just ask him. It's good and it's the right thing. So, you know, some just walk away when they have a tragedy in their family, in their lives, people close to them, because they're biblically illiterate. There's a great new book out. Dan Kindle wrote a book, How Not to Read the Bible. Okay? No, he's not trying to get you to not read it. He just wants you to read it properly. How not to read the Bible. And he said most Christians today are all raised on cherry-picking the Bible. Oh, I'm going to go to Jeremiah. I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord. Right? And by the way, that's true. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Yes, it's true. But the Bible, if you read the whole thing, you find out the world is totally messed up and lost, and it's going to affect all of us. So you get the whole picture. But if you cherry pick the Bible, you'll walk away because all you've done is eat dessert. You haven't gone into the meat and looked at really, really important. You get that? Don't be doing that. Don't be cherry picking the Bible. So somebody cherry picks the Bible, they only have their nicey little statements from the scripture, and something happens to them and they say, my God, if he was real, he would never do that. You ought to read the rest of the book, man. Look, I know the Old Testament is difficult and brutal because that's the real world. It told us the truth. I mean, there's some crazy awful stuff in there. You name it. Intrigue, adultery, murder. I mean, it's all there. It's awful. Read it because it's the story of the real human race and what happened. Somebody had a tragedy happen into their life and they said, do you ever ask why you? And he said, no, I ask why not me? I'm living in this world. This place is a mess. It's going to affect all of us. You see, he had the whole picture. Do you get that? You show up, you shut up, and you ask the questions. Ask him. It is a good and right thing. And then one last thing. David says at the end of this psalm, after pouring it all out, he says, but I trust in your unfailing love. My heart rejoices in your salvation. When we ask the questions, we ask them within a context. Now you got to get this, and then we're going to go eat lunch. You got to ask the questions within the context. We ask the very difficult and angry at him questions, right? But we ask it in a context, and the context is this. The God of heaven came here and entered this mess. He did not leave us alone. He went to a cross and suffered and took the curse on himself, and he was raised from the dead. You want to talk about somebody that knows hurt? The man who is acquainted with sorrows, a man of sorrow and acquainted with grief, the scripture says. It was Jesus. What he went through for us, that he would love us so much that he came here and died spread eagle on a cross over that town garbage heap. He did it. He came here. You might not understand what you're going through and why the tragedy right now, but I'm telling you this. You have a God who didn't leave us alone. He came here in time and space and suffered for us in this place. Always ask the questions within that framework because you'll always know then you are loved more than you can ever imagine. It's just so true. A guy was telling the story about a little old lady. She was a nun. They were going on a flight from point A to point B. And it was a really rough ride. And the guy said he was scared to death, okay? He was praying. He was writing out a will on the back of a program that he had in his business thing. You know, if I die, I want you know, you find this. He's doing all that. Plane's going all over the place. The nun fell asleep. And that plane is going all over the place in the storm. He said to her, how can you sleep? And she said, I can't fly this plane. And she went back to sleep. Listen, you can trust him in this. Tragedy is a normal part of a broken world, okay? I hate it, you hate it. But you understand, this isn't home. Home is heaven. One day it'll be all put back together, but right now it's not perfect. We're going to struggle our way through this with God's help, with his love. But when it happens, show up for somebody. Shut up. Just do. Get busy. Ask the tough questions. And ask those questions within the parameters of the gospel we know. All right? You think about that. Let's stand together and pray, shall we? Let's pray together. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for David. I just love the way he was so honest and open with you and he didn't hide it. I'm so grateful. Thank you that we can also speak to you without being careful, without pursing our words. We can tell you exactly what we think because you know already anyhow. So here we are. Lord, there's a whole bunch of my friends here today. They're processing a bunch of junk that they've had to go through. Lord, we know that you have seen it all. We do understand one thing, that anything that comes to us had to come through a pierced hand to get to us because we're in that hand. So, Lord, we don't know what else to do but to trust you because you really did come here for us. Bless my friends. Lord, continue to help us to grow as individuals and mature. We ask you'll open your word to us as a group. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, thank you for visiting the website of Community Bible Church. We hope you found it helpful. Also, if you're ever in or around Waterford, Michigan, we would love to have you come and visit us for a Sunday morning service. We'd love to have you come. Let us know you found us on the web. So God bless you, my friends.